Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our study through the book of 1 Corinthians as we continue through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The point is, wherever Paul needed to minister to the Jews, if it did not violate Scripture, he would put himself in that position so that he could win them to Christ. All right. Paul's participated in Jewish these purification ceremonies, which he knew was not necessary for his own life. It's nothing, just like eating a meat. It's nothing. Whether you eat, you know, we know the meat's nothing, idols are nothing. But if it's going to cause him to stumble, I won't eat that meat. If it's going to cause him to stumble, well, I'll go through the purification ceremony so that I could be in the temple and communicate with them. He hoped it would build a bridge of ministry to the Jews. Paul loved the Jewish people and had a great desire to see them saved. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Many of you know this by heart, where Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." And whatever Paul had to do, matter of fact, in Romans chapter 9, he said, "I would give my life that they would, that if in order for them to be saved, if it needed to be, I would die for my Jewish brethren." Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 10, he said, "My heart's desire that they may be saved." So it was a small thing for Paul to go through that purification ceremony. Even though it didn't mean anything, he knew it wasn't like it means nothing. But he didn't want to cause anybody to start. Are you starting to see a picture?
Yes.
So he became to them as a Jew. Now, let me go back to 1 Corinthians 9. Let's read that verse again. "And unto the Jew I became as a Jew," even though he was a Jew, he a couple of some of their ceremonies we see he participated in, "that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law," that's the Jewish people, "as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." I'm going to relate to these Jewish people to the best of my ability without violating Scripture. Amen, preacher. Now he turns it to the Gentiles when he says in verse number 21, "To them that are without the law." Now, these are those who are not under the law. You know that the law of Moses was given to the Jews. It was not given to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, we see in Romans chapter 1, there's a law unto themselves. That's a whole other point to the Gentiles. Okay, well, good. That's a whole other study. "To them that are without law is without law." And then in parentheses, "not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ." In other words, he's not going to do anything that would violate the laws of Christ. Anything that violates Scripture, he's not going to do that, okay? And then he says, "that I might gain them that are without law." Same principle applies to the Gentiles that he did to the Jews. Paul, while among the Gentiles, conformed to their social customs and traditions so long as it did not break the law of Christ. Again, he wasn't compromising. He wasn't one thing over here, another thing over here. No, he was... In other words, he adapted their social custom. I'm going to give you a perfect example of that in just a minute, okay? Verse number 22. "And to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." What did Paul mean by that real quick? Before we go any farther. He didn't walk around them like some snooty Christian. "To the weak I became as weak," okay? He didn't go in there, "Boy, ain't I something," okay? He could relate to whoever, the Jew, Gentile, a weak believer or a strong believer, whoever he was around, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, or whatever that goes. Whoever you were around, you could relate. Beggar, pauper, rich man, poor man, beggar, man, thief, doctor, lawyer, that's how it goes. Whoever you're around, you could relate to them. Amen, preacher. That's what he is saying. I'm just can relate to this group. I can't go to this class of people because, well, it's not what Paul did. Let me redress this. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." He could relate to them. I am made all things to all men. Notice he said all men, not just a certain group. I just said it. Rich man, poor man, but where'd that come from? I learned that as a kid. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Where did that come from? It was a grocery rhyme. Okay. Okay. All right. Y'all as old as me then. Okay, that's what, whoever it is, I became to all men that I might by all means save some. So I started our lesson this morning. That was Paul's method. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what side of the tracks you may be from, Paul would relate to you, when he would talk to you about Jesus Christ, because that was the most important thing, is to win them to Christ, no matter what the situation may be, okay? Paul did not change, and this is important, Paul did not change his doctrine. He did not change his message to appeal to the different groups. He would change his behavior and his manner of approach to that group, that he could relate to them. Paul unselfishly conformed every way that he could to others and to their customs, as long as it did not violate biblical principle. He did so that they might receive his preaching. They might hear, listen to what he had to say about Christ and his message. He wanted to make sure that his person, his mannerisms, his feelings, and his actions did not hinder anybody from coming to Christ. Now, let me give you a personal example of this. Years ago, when I was missionary in Kenya, Africa, there were over 70 different tribes in Kenya. In other words, the main language in Kenya is Kiswahili. Many of them learn English, but there's also over 70 different tribes, and they all know their tribal language. We worked with what was called the Luhya people. Matter of fact, we were on the cruise, and there were a couple of Kenyans who were the stewards on the cruise ship, and I saw they said from Kenya. And they were shocked when this white guy started speaking Swahili to them. I said, Habari Ndugu. I said, whoa. And they said, what'd you say in English? Because they're used to English. I said, Habari Ndugu. And said, Habari. You know, and then we started talking English. And then I spoke in Luhya, Malembe Voss, and it blowed them away. Because I didn't know just a little bit of Swahili. I knew a little bit of Luhya, which that's about, you don't be impressed, that's about all I remember now, you know. But the point is, they have their own language. They have their own culture inside Kenya. They have their own traditions, their own culture, their own people groups, even though they assimilate one pretty well. By the way, that you ever heard the term mother tongue? When a child is born and the mother says she's from the Luhya tribe and the mother's from the Luhya tribe and the daddy's from a Luo tribe or Kikuyu or whatever other tribe it may be, guess what language the mother teaches the baby? Her language, the Luhya language, the mother tongue. And then as a little baby, he learns her language, and then he grows up and learns the Swahili and maybe daddy's language, whoever. That's why it's called mother tongue, by the way, because the mother teaches him. Anyway, we go up to Turkana, where, have you been there? You haven't been. We went. What a great trip that was, Florence. What year was that? Changed Florence's life. That's a whole another story. Went to Turkana. Okay, I had the privilege in 1990. Was that 2000? Because I left in 99. Yeah, it was. I started the church. It's called Lodwar Landmark Baptist Church in 1999. We baptized 36. Y'all have heard that story. Remember me baptizing? We went hut-to-hut visitation all week long, and that Sunday, we baptized 36. The first guy we baptized was a blind man. He was MZ. He was the leader of that group of people. And by the way, if you win the leader to the Lord, you kind of bring the rest of them along with them. You know, anyway, he was a blind man. And the very last report, because I came home from, long story short, you know, y'all wanted me to come back to the church, so I've been here for 20 years or whatever longer now. Anyway, he's a blind man. And I left that Sunday. The following Sunday, you're going. John Wignoni is the pastor in South Sudan now. He was the pastor that I left there in Lodwar. You can tell him the story because it's so true. You'll see him in 9 days, okay? John was a dear friend. I put him in Lodwar. He was there for 6 months. He was longer than that, but I'm running. I got to finish this story, okay? But you're going to see John. We baptized 36. First one was blind, and then John told me the next Sunday he came, and he's blind, and literally he's going. Here's what he said. Which way to the church? Which way to the church? He didn't know. People had to take him to the church, and here we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Here's a blind man. He's going to go to church.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And join us this Saturday, March 1st at 6 p.m. to hear the Inspirations live in concert at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. That's March 1st, Saturday at 6 p.m. The Inspirations will be with us, and we hope that you'll come join us. I hope to see you there. Well, from now, Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.